How do you know there's an afterlife, heaven, and hell? Is there anybody who went and came back? Can the afterlife be something you dream of because you want it? In the apocalypse, how long will the judgment take? There are millions of people. How long will it take to judge every one of them? The thing you call the afterlife, can it be reincarnation? How do you know there is an afterlife, heaven, and hell? Is there anybody who went and came back?
Is there anybody who went and came back? To be frank, yes, there are people who went and came back. What did our prophet do on the night of ascension? He went and came back. But that is not the question here. The real question here is there anyone who has seen it in person? Did anybody see it personally? This is the real question. So again, it is about physically seeing it. It is about limiting the mind with eyesight. The basic argument in the question here is I don't believe without seeing. However, a man believes a lot of things without seeing them. Why should we restrain our minds just to our eyes? Why should we say you can't believe something unless you actually see it? Let's think of it this way. Imagine there is a fire behind a mountain. We can't see the fire, but if we see the smoke, we say, if there is smoke, surely there must be a fire. Did we personally see the fire? Is this something that we'd ask each other? We won't. Why? Smoke is already sufficient evidence for the presence of fire. Our minds will reach that conclusion. Let's think, if I ask, have you ever been to America? Most of us have never been to America, but everybody believes in its existence. Wait a minute. How are you sure about its existence? Did you see it with your own eyes? You'd say, no, I didn't see it with my own eyes. I was informed about it. And plenty of people said that there is a continent called America. Because of the overflowing and reliable data from other people, one can rationally and logically know and believe in the existence of such a place. We can ask, here is what we see in videos and TVs. Isn't that enough? We can say this, but there is no certainty that those videos are genuine. This is just an example. What I am trying to say is that we can believe in some things using reason even though we don't see them in person. Or with the certainty of the information we get, we can accept the existence of some things. Just like this example, we know the existence of the afterlife reasonably and logically through the information provided by 124,000 prophets. We know for sure with the information Quran provided. We don't need to see it with our own eyes, as we know for sure with our reason.
We don't need to see it. Okay. But don't you think you should provide any evidence, some sort of proof?
We can think of it this way. We have thousands of pieces of evidence from four different sources about the existence of the afterlife. What are these four different sources? One, the book is called the universe. The universe tells us about the afterlife. Two, the Holy Quran. Quran tells us about the afterlife as well. Three, what did our prophet, peace be upon him, do? He told us about the afterlife. Four, human nature and conscience tell us about the afterlife. We have thousands of evidence. Besides, with every evidence that proves the truth of the Quran, we're proving the afterlife too. Thousands of evidence we provide for the Holy Quran prove the afterlife at the same time. We can understand the afterlife through an example. What is that example? Something like this. Imagine there's a mother whose child is about to burn in a fire. She immediately runs to save her child from the fire. After saving her child from the fire, she takes her child to a 10-story building. On the first floor, she takes care of her child's health. She takes the child to the second floor and takes care of all the child's needs. She takes the child to the third floor. The third floor is all about the child's happiness and joy. She takes care of the child's needs again, to the smallest detail. In this 10-story building, she takes care of the different needs of her child on each floor. What if something like this happens next? She brings her child to the 10th floor and suddenly throws her child off the building for no apparent reason. Does this make any sense? It doesn't make any sense. Why? If you're gonna throw your child off the building, one, why did you save the child from the fire? Two, why did you design a 10-story building and take care of the child's every need with such compassion? We'd say that this doesn't make any sense. I'm not even going to mention a mother's compassion. Just like this example, God has brought us into existence from nothing. He didn't leave us in the fires of emptiness or the abyss of darkness. He created us into beings, and you can think of this world as that 10-story building. In here, like everywhere, He took care of all our needs. Think of our health, food, and drink. He prepared all kinds of flavors for us. For instance, He created something called a mother's affection. Are we going to say, God, who brought us from nothing to existence and provided all our needs here, like that mother who threw her child from a building, will throw us into fires of emptiness and leave us in the abyss of darkness after we die? Is this possible? Of course not. Now we ask the same question here. If God will not take us to the afterlife after our death, if He will leave us to the abyss of darkness, one, why did He bring us from nothing into existence? Two, after the blessing of existence, why did He provide us all these treats and take care of all our needs? So we say, every gift and blessing God has bestowed upon us clearly shows us that there is an afterlife. So if somebody wants to deny the hereafter, he must deny the universe and all that is in it.
Can the afterlife be something you dream of because you want it?
We are not talking about dreams here. So whether I dream or not, whether I want it to be real or not, this is not the issue. The issue here is the evidence. We're talking about the evidence. We say there's evidence everywhere. Consider the following. Think about someone who lived in the same period as Mehmet Architect Sinan. Someone says to his friend, Mehmet Architect Sinan will construct a new building, and his friend says, what if this is something you're dreaming of? It is not possible. You say it because you want it to be. It is impossible. Does that make any sense? It doesn't make any sense. Why? What he did before is evidence enough for what he will do next. He's already proven his abilities. Like this example, God has already brought us from nothing into existence. He created the universe from nothing, and he continues to create numerous beings without stopping. God, who has brought us into existence from nothing in the first instance, why will he not be able to do the same thing in the afterlife? God, who created so many things, who made all the things in the first place, he can surely do the same again.
I just had this thought. In the example of Mehmet Architect Sinan, we looked at his previous works and we said he's going to do what's on his mind. The Almighty God has never sent us to the afterlife before. How can we relate to it with this example?
Now the example here is this. Can he or can't he do something? That's the example. As for Mehmet Sinan, we said he has done the same thing 1,000 times before. He has constructed. So it will be easy for him to construct a new building because he already has. The matter at hand is God creating the afterlife. We are talking about somebody who is omnipotent, somebody who has no impotence. His power is limitless. We are talking about a being who can do anything infinitely easily. A being who created a place like this world. Of course, he can also build a place like the afterlife. Let's think of it this way. Is it easier to do something the first time or the second time? Of course, it's easier to do it the second time. Why? Once you've done something before, you can do the same thing again more easily. We're talking about someone who is omnipotent. We're talking about a being who can do anything infinitely easily. We should say, if he created this world for the first time, he could create an afterlife in any case. God, who creates millions of beings from a single drop of water, why would it be unlikely for him to resurrect us from our bones again after we die?
Fine, understood, but I have a question. In your answers, while talking about the pieces of evidence of the afterlife, you spoke of evidence of human nature. You said the man himself has evidence. Can you elaborate on that?
This is a bit related to the question I just asked. You know how it is said you accept that there is an afterlife because you want it? This is actually evidence of human nature. How? For example, the feeling of hunger. The feeling of hunger in human nature is proof of food's existence. Likewise, the need for an afterlife in man, his constant incline to it, his natural desire for an eternal place, and his hunger for infinity, as in the example of food, is the natural evidence for the existence of the afterlife. Our need shows the existence of the afterlife. For example, would you miss a place you've never been or never known? You wouldn't. Why? Because you don't know that place. You can't yearn for it. When you think about it, we have a longing for heaven. There is a feeling of eternity in us. We have a desire for it when we say heaven, and we yearn to go there. Wait a minute. If we don't miss a place we never knew, then this longing for heaven, for eternity in ourselves or our nature, what does it signify? It signifies the existence of the afterlife in heaven. It is evidence of human nature. Our nature knows the eternity and heaven, and it is heading towards them. Just as a stomach indicates the existence of food, our desire for eternity, our need for eternity, is evidence for the existence of afterlife and heaven. These indicate it.
Will we exist in the afterlife with our bodies or souls?
When we look at the Quran and the Ahadith, we see that it is the resurrection of the body and soul together. The resurrection of this body may not sit well with people's minds. We can think of it this way. Let's think of a commander. So, the commander's troops are resting around him. He just needs to say, regroup, to gather the troops, right? This is not hard for him. Why? Because those soldiers in the army and all their actions are under his command. Like this example, all the atoms in our bodies, all the atoms in the universe are like soldiers under the command of God. When people die, their bodies are buried. Now those soldiers in our bodies, in other words atoms, are like those soldiers who are resting after they are dead. All God needs to say for the resurrection is regroup. With this order, he can reassemble all the atoms, all those soldiers again. Just like how that commander gathers his resting troops easily, God will order those resting soldiers or atoms regroup. With his order, with a command, he can reassemble and resurrect. So, the resurrection of the body should not be doubtful, just like this commander example.
The thing you call the afterlife, can it be reincarnation?
It can't be. If there is a test, it is done for its results. Could the reward of a test, or the result of a test, be to be tested again? Of course not. The purpose of this world is to reach the afterlife. It is a test for getting the afterlife. At the end of the test, the good people must be rewarded, while the oppressors must be punished. It makes no sense to be brought back to the testing ground, this world again. Besides, when we consider our souls, they are eternal. For a soul of eternal nature, it doesn't make sense for it to be sent back to this world, a restricted place. If our soul is an ocean, this world is like a cup. I mean, our souls overflow from its container. So, when we get a reward, when something will be given for the good that is done in this world, surely it must be in an eternal place. Imagine that there is a very good person and with reincarnation he comes back to this world as a wealthy man. What difference does it make? Do rich people don't get sick? They do. Do rich people don't long for eternity? They do. I'd say this is a contradiction. This is not logical. Consider the following. There is an oppressor who killed 10 million people, or he killed 20 million people. To punish him, the punishment needs to be equal to the crime he committed. If you send him back to this world, what's the worst punishment you can give? Think about someone who is in a horrific situation. That person can't get what he deserves. We're talking about someone who killed 10 million people. So, a place where the oppressor will get what he deserves is necessary, and a place where people who do good deeds here can be fully rewarded. So, the idea of reincarnation is implausible, illogical, and has hundreds of contradictions in it.
In the apocalypse, how long will the judgment take? There are millions of people. If each one is judged individually, how long will it take?
There is information that the judgment in the apocalypse will be quite long. It is said to be between 1,000 and 50,000 years. But it's important to remember that the concept of time is relative. For example, let's think about a mathematics lesson. The lesson will be quite long for someone who doesn't like math. Sometimes he may feel like he's been in the class for his whole life. But for someone who likes math, the lesson passes very quickly. Think about physical education classes as an example. Those classes pass by quickly for a lot of people. Sometimes two lessons are combined into a block lesson. It seems that it would take less than the time of one lesson, so the concept of time, the perception of time, varies according to the person or situation of the person. We need to think about it this way. If we arrived at the apocalypse as someone who achieved contentment of God, then we won't need to think about the concept of time anymore. Because in that case, if we had the contentment of God, time would pass more quickly for us. If we focus on this world, if we focus on our test, what do we need to do here? To seek the contentment of God. For someone who has gained the approval of God, the concept of time in the apocalypse will not be a serious problem. Let us focus on this world and our own test. If we please God, we will think about the relativity of time, and God willing, we will complete our judgment with ease.
You say the afterlife, heaven and hell, are eternal. Then will we live in the afterlife forever and become eternal beings? I thought only God is eternal.
That's a good question, but here's the thing. The condition that the afterlife is eternal and we exist for the eternity is up to God. So we are dependent on God in this. With the fact that God provides us that eternity and allows us to live for eternity, then and only then will we exist for eternity. Being eternal is not a characteristic of heaven and hell. Heaven and hell will exist forever, since God will make them exist forever. Hence, we will exist forever. Think about it like this. Let there be a mirror that reflects the rays of the sun. The source of the reflection in the mirror is the sun. Likewise, if we think of heaven, hell, and the afterlife's eternity, just like the mirror, since the mirror's reflection depends on the sun, their eternity, like the reflection, depends on God. He will make them exist, and they will exist for eternity. Another example is the shade of a tree. For there to be shade, there must be a tree. The shadow exists because of the tree. Like this, the existence of the afterlife, the existence of heaven and hell, is because of God. They exist because God wills them to exist. They are the shadow of God's names and attributes.
Why was this world created in the first place if there would be an apocalypse? Isn't that a waste?
It's not a waste, because a teacher uses chalk to give information and to teach something. When you say, he used chalk to teach me something and then erased it, did the teacher waste it? No, he didn't. Why is that? Because the purpose of chalk is to give information. God created this world as a testing ground, and He uses it to give meaning to lots of issues. Let's think of it like that chalk example. Then the existence of the afterlife and the end of this world's mission are not wasted, because its purpose is to give meaning. Additionally, God will transform the universe and its content. So, God will create this universe in a new way. We can think of this universe as the core of the afterlife. With this universe, God will build a new universe. There won't be any waste.
Okay, it's not a waste. What is the underlying reason for the apocalypse?
We can say it has many reasons. For example, imagine a king that opens a large exhibition and invites people there. He invites them and wants them to understand the meanings of the items in the exhibition. He offers them treats as well. He offers some food and drinks. What will happen if people start to focus only on the food and drinks without understanding the meaning of the items in the exhibition? That exhibition needs to be closed. Why is that? Because the purpose of the exhibition is for people to understand the meaning of the items in it. Likewise, God has also created the universe to provide certain meanings, to have them understood. If people who come here don't understand the meaning anymore, in other words, if they abandon the Quran and don't read the names and attributes of God, what will God do? He will shut this exhibition down and build a new one. It is one of the underlying reasons. Of course, there are many other reasons. Another example is, imagine a house built after 10 years worth of effort. When the house is about to be completed, if you don't build the roof, if you leave the top of the house open to rain, it will be unwise, right? If there is a cost of 10 years worth, surely the roof will be completed. We would say the job will be completed. Likewise, after all the expenses have been made for this world, such as people reading and understanding the meaning, building a testing site and separating the good and bad people. After such expenses failing to complete the roof, it's not wise to let the test be incomplete with the absence of the afterlife. So this will also be completed as the roof of this world will be completed. The afterlife will come. This is another reason. We can count dozens of reasons.
Thank you for your answers. These are all the questions for you today.
I tried to give my answers which are inspired by the Tafsir of Quran Risale-Nur Collection 10th Word. If our brothers and sisters want to learn more, they may read the Tafsir.
If they want to learn the answers to these questions, we advise them to read Risale-Nur Collection. Is there a method to read Risale-Nur Collection?
There's an Instagram account we created, Towards ELA. Our brothers and sisters can reach us from there, and there they can find answers to the questions such as, how can I understand Risale-Nur easily? We have a Towards Eternal Life Academy online Islamic program there. Our brothers and sisters can reach out to us if they want to learn about this in more detail. They can start to read the Risale-Nur and improve themselves.
Hello, brothers and sisters, and thank you for watching the video. If you want to take a look at more of our videos like this, you can check the playlists we created specifically for you on the right, or you can check out our latest videos on the left. Don't forget to like this video and subscribe to our channel so that we can reach and benefit more people. See you.